the rest of you out there, if you want to wake up and try it again, so you can juice is flowing, so to say. How y'all doing?
Good!
All right. Looking better today. All right. I was thinking about, for a while now, what to talk about today. And I was thinking, last week about it, I found out I was singing. And I was like, oh boy. Because when you find out something, you're like, oh boy. That's really when the rubber meets the road. You gotta figure out something real quick. And it's not the fact that, it's scary in a way that it's life and death, but more scary in the fact that you realize that is put upon you to take care of. So that's kind of what I was going off of today. It's kind of a character, okay? So you can keep your limbs, if you will, in anything and everything I talk about as a character. It'll help this lesson go a lot better, and hopefully in your own minds as well as in mind, because you have that idea that some things, when they're in your mind, sound a lot better than when they come out. So let's hope for that. But I asked Chad to read for me a little bit. So if you want to read that right now, that'd be good. Whatever you want, it's fine. It's one of these words.
The lesson text for today is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This is from the New King James Version. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace, which God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath in the end. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation.
Alright, so, one of my talents that I have is I like to rhyme. Many of those that were there in October when I had my little Halloween party, it was a big mystery thing. A lot of it had to do with rhymes and also clues, which luckily worked out. It seemed pretty good. Most people got at least close to it, if not right at the answer. So, anyway, I've titled this little thing to help us kind of get our mindset right. Is the world happening to you, or are you happening to the world? Says, if our lives are all just vapors in the wind, what kind of impression will you lend? Will you add to the heat and disease, or will you be cool as a refreshing breeze? Are you going to live life like the rest, or are you going to live to be with the best of the best? When it comes to making a choice, will you sneak at night, or do you do what is good and right? Can you wait until finally you start to live, or start living? Or are you thankful for every moment just to be breathing? Do you wish you could take back the words? Take your words back, or encourage others in the strength that they lack? Do you watch time fly by, or do you tell people about Jesus at every try? Do you spend money as fast as it is found, or do you give to a good cause and break new ground? Do you laugh at darkness, pushing a cart, or do you help just because you have heart? Do you have to stay in the bed, or do you get up and show people where to head? Do you get others in trouble by sounding the alarm, or do you run to the rescue and save them from harm? Are you worried at any given moment of the day, or do you get on your knees, realize God, and pray? Would you kick someone when they're down, or do you lift them up before they drown? If someone is trapped inside, will you throw away the key? or show them Jesus who wants to live inside of you and me. We can complain about the things that cause pain, or count your blessings in your life like falling rain. Do you go to wherever your heart craves, or do you anchor down that withstands all the waves? Are you consumed with anger, causing you to fight? Or are you full of love, being the lighthouse, giving ships a clear light? Do you show off to be in all the eyes around, or do you help others to save souls and lives around in your town? At any defense, will you be in your pride, or will you show Christ the Lord in which you abide? Do you find it easy to wander into danger zones, or do you warn your friends and pray with them over the phone? When the world stops turning, will you run in panic, or will you see Jesus coming in glory and be extremely upset? I wrote that just one day sitting down, and I thought I'd share it with you. Sometimes we have many talents. Obviously, we have some that are good at painting. As we can see that we have woodwork. We have all kinds of different trades here and there. Obviously, we have teachers amongst us that have been here longer than I have, and some that have been here in a shorter time than I have. And over the past little bit, thinking of the subject, there's a couple of things that already come to mind. And one that actually happened today is Jaquan got up here, nervous as he could be. But what pushed him? What pushed him to continue to go ahead and say what he had to say? He wrote an excellent speech, if you will, about superheroes. And I mean, you know, yeah, we can say that, oh, that was a coincidence. You know, obviously that was good. You know, and you can be inspired for the moment. Or you can take it to heart. You can realize that what he was saying is more than just, you know, just a saying. It was more of something that we can live our life by. Because we do have that superhero. We do have someone that is able to take care of us. Just as Andy was reading to us earlier about, you know, the wise man and the fool man, and how they built their house on either the rock or on the sand. You know, character is that way very much so. We are able to pretty much take our lives and either set it on something that is foundational, that is going to support anything that is thrown that way. Regardless of how we are able to handle it, we have someone that is able to take that burden from us. We're able to have somebody that is going to cast out the fear. I think it was Brandon Post that was telling us one time that there's roughly 365 verses in the Bible that says, do not fear, or do not have anxiety, do not be afraid, any of those different kind of passages. That's something that stuck with me. And I've also been noticing that. A lot of things that have gone over my whole entire life stick with me. Little sayings like that. There's actually a song out called Voices that, if you've heard, it's very inspirational. It's talking about all his family and all these things that they said over his, you know, his lifespan. And that these things stick with him. And that as it comes to these situations, they help him out. As far as is something else that I would like to say is, in Matthew 25, and it's also in verse 31 through 46. And it kind of goes and shows us that, yes, when we go through these things, we have our choices, that they do mean something. You know, sometimes you feel like, you know, well, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. It's really small. It's insignificant. But really, they mean just as much as the big things. You know, James talks about it easily and talking about how it's like the rudder of a ship. You know, you can have this huge ship, and you can have a smaller rudder, and it turns which way it goes. It's like a horse bit in the horse's mouth. You know, it controls this huge beast and points in the direction the way you want to go. And just like the tongue, it can be good or bad. And it can tear, you know, down the best of the best, or it can lift up the ones that are poorest in spirit to have the greatest spirit of all. But in Matthew 25, 31 through 46, it says, when the Son of Man comes in glory, all the angels will be with him, and then he will sit on the glory of his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will be a separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And the 16 will say to those that come on his right, come, who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you came to visit me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or feed you, or thirsty, or give you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did for the least of these of my brothers, you did to me. And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. And I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will say to the Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? And he said to them, truly I say to you, you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment and be the righteousness into eternal life. And I got a privilege of getting to teach a good pastor, even if it's just till May right now. And I get to be the Bible teacher for a bunch of freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. One thing you might not understand about them is they sometimes like to hear their own voice versus mine. Sometimes it's conflict. Sometimes I let it go just a little bit just to see if they would, in respect, stop. And you find out very quickly that's not always the case. In fact, it's usually you have to get on to them. And, you know, that's part of their character. And sadly, they could totally use a life-changing experience to hopefully fix that. Sometimes it might be a detention. Sometimes it might just be a quick word that says stop. Or it could be many things. But I got the privilege of teaching in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it's kind of vague in what they told me I could teach about as far as in the Bible. So a lot of things come to my mind. And, you know, you get to install, so to say, something into them that they hopefully will use. And every once in a while, you can see that in someone. You can see that you've made a difference. I mean, for instance, Taquan, I don't know if you pick on you, but I remember when you were really small and you first came to Reach, and, you know, he was very scared. He didn't like to read the Bible out loud. You know, it was, you know, you could tell that he was kind of standoffish. And now, he got in front of all of you. A lot bigger crowd than there ever was as far as teachers. And he was surrounded by his friends then. Now, he's surrounded by family. He has this more of a courage. And I think that's amazing. And I think when we look at life, we should realize a few things. First of all, is that we all have talents. And not to waste those. I mean, we've you know, gone over many times the different stories about the men that had a master that gave him certain talents and that, you know, one doubled, and then another one doubled his amount, and the other one hid it, and was afraid to use it. And, you know, Jaquan was the one who hid it. You know, he would have never probably got up here and did what he did today. And I think I can say for all of us that it isn't a blessing to see that he doubled it, that he was up here and able to actually take the courage and come out and do what he did today. I think that obviously, it takes a lot more than, you know, armies sometimes, it seems like, that you have to go up against, and really, you can be that one person that stands in the face of all of them, because you know one thing that they don't know, and that's God. You know, I drew a picture once, and I was trying to come up with, I liked the medieval times. I liked the idea that you can go and fight for a woman, and, you know, joust a little bit, and, you know, have armor, which I'm sure would be extremely heavy and I would not be able to move, but the idea was cool, and, you know, get to fight off dragons and whatnot, get knighted. And it just, you know, that whole idea was awesome to me. I enjoy that. And I even wrote songs about it. But this picture. And it started out as I just wanted to see if I could draw a knight. Okay? So I Googled a knight armor just to make sure I had all the pieces. And I kind of had him on his knees. And his sword is in his hand. And he's pointed up, obviously. And then he's got the shield. He's got a little helmet with a little floof kind of thing on it. A little feather, if you will. And I was like, well, that's cool. I can draw a little knight. I was like, well, that's good. I was like, what can I do to make this, if anybody was to ever see it, be inspired? And I was like, that's a hard thing to do. But then it came to me. I was like, you know, it's not as hard as I think it is. I mean, the dear Lord told us, you know, one of the simplest things is to go out and spread the gospel to every person. And that's it. I mean, it wasn't like we had to convert them. He didn't say that we were the ones that had to do that. He didn't say that we were even the ones that would cause the growth. All he said is that, you know, you plant the seed and somebody else could water it later on. You know, it didn't have to be you. But just the fact that you said something to somebody and planted that seed, that's easy. I mean, that's the least of our discomfort is to go over and say, hey, you know, Jesus. You know, I went to a couple of different things, like Lipscomb's Impact or something, and I thought it was really weird. I was walking by, and you know how they get the doors that are tucked back a little bit from the building? But and they get stairs going up? I didn't even see this guy. I just was walking by, and all I hear is, hey, do you know Jesus? Well, that was kind of funny to me. Because, you know, we're all there for impact. Most of us there are supposed to be Christians, so I was, you know, kind of chuckled a little bit. And I looked over, and I said, yeah. He said, oh, really? Do you know him like I do? I said, well, I said, I think maybe we have different experiences, but I would assume that we know him the same way. He goes, well, you want to talk about it? I said, sure. So I think we carried on with a good hour and a half conversation. And I totally forgot where I was going as far as where I was traveling towards. I think it was probably lunch. Because I remember being hungry at some points. And then I was like, man, can I live by bread alone? So I continued. But anyway, go back to my picture. You know, I had this knight, and he's on his knees as if he, you know, had been extremely tired, had just kind of struck him down, if you will. And he's picking up a sword, and he's kind of holding it up a while with a shield. And all of a sudden, I was like, all right, so inspirational-wise, how can I get this to speak Jesus? And I was like, oh, well, that's it. So I do the little, you know, sun rays coming down to make him look a little bit holier, you know, kind of idea. And then on the shield, I put a picture of, it's half and half. It's got a half of the lion's face and half of the sheep face, which is the lion and lamb. You know, so then that hopefully represents the whole, you know, armor of God, you know, so you've got to get that picture going on. And then all of a sudden, in a very far off scene, you have all these heels that he's got past him. And all of a sudden, anywhere from the left side of the page all the way to the right side of the page are little silhouettes of little people with, like, spears or swords or anything like that. And it's just him out there. And I think to myself sometimes about that picture an awful lot. And it makes me realize and be so grateful that, first of all, we don't have to be like that. That we do have more people behind us. But what happens if you were that person and you were the only one that you felt that you were the only one? You know, it's not the first time that the Bible ever said, hey, I'm the only Christian out here, God. You know, and everybody's trying to kill me. What's going on? And God's like, no. There's actually a lot more than what you realize. But in that situation, if you were that knight and you had to go against all those people, you know, what are your odds? And if you want to think scientifically about it, your odds are going to be terrible. You know, if it was me, more than likely I would probably lose within like the first two fights. Okay, I've always been a very pacifist. I look like a grizzly bear, but I'm definitely more like, you know, poo. So, you know, I'm very cuddly. I don't like to fight, but it's just how it is. But the idea is he's not alone. Even though he's by himself, about to go against hundreds of thousands, he's not alone. And his odds are much greater than what is seen. In fact, The only thing that gives reference towards it is his armor and this holy life. And he's facing all these people. He's already looking towards them. And he's going to win. You know, I think about Samson and how he killed, you know, a couple hundred people with the jaw of a donkey bone. I mean, the odds of that, you know, all right, let's get a spear and let's get some, like, you know, some throwing knives and, you know, an axe and all this. Oh, or a jaw of a donkey bone. Okay, let's go with that one. Okay, that would be the weapon of choice right there. No. All right? It doesn't make sense. But see, the thing is, and the beauty about it is character. When you have God on your side, and that is part of who you are, it doesn't matter what you're giving. It doesn't matter what you have or what you're in search of. As long as you have God, what does it matter? You know, you have anything and everything you ever need. That is the greatest thing. So, like I said, character is very, very important. And when you look at what was read today, also talked about today, and as far as this poem goes, and the descriptions of the pictures, we have some kind of hope, where a lot of people don't have that at all. I mean, can you imagine having not have God in your life, and then having someone that's very close to you die? You know, to me, it's heartbreaking, because you have no choice but to believe that, you know, they're just going to die. And that you have, I mean, without hope, there's nothing. It's just there. It's done. You can't do anything about it. But if you have hope that something greater and outside of this world can come in and save the day like a superhero and heal this person that you love so dearly, and it happens, I mean, that should be huge of a faith booster. But there's even a song that came out with Caleb that even talks about, even if the healing doesn't come, you know, and the idea is that even though if death happens, you know, character-wise, who are you? Are you going to still be able to follow God? Are you still going to be out there and try to live for Him? And I guess this is where I'm headed towards and all my thoughts. Because character-wise, you get to choose. You get to say, this is my life. Are you who you want to be? You know? You get a choice. God said, you know, here's free will. You can either come and follow me, or the opposite. You know? And if you're come and follow me, then you're with me. And if you're with me, who can be against you? So, I mean, you have the choices, just like that. And just like my kids at school, they have a choice whether to listen to me or not. And I talk to them as soon as I can and tell them about all kinds of life events along with it. And I even give them a choice. I say, okay, look. I said, sometimes I know it can be long-winded. Sometimes lectures aren't the best, you know, as far as sitting there and having to write and get hand cramps and then they complain about any little detail that they can so they can get out of it. But I said, if you pay attention to me for the most of the class period, I will give you the last 20 minutes to talk or do whatever you want. And they know this. I tell them each beginning of every class that that's exactly what it is. So you would think they would catch on. But the problem is, they don't. They just continue to talk. So I'm like, fine, then you don't get the last 20 minutes. And then I continue to talk about what I want to, regardless of what it is. It's something that pretty much makes them bored the best I can. That way they feel terrible, and they want to try to do something, you know, of listening to me next time so they can have that 20 minutes so they don't have to go suffer. You know, it's kind of a consequence like that. But, you know, usually that does have some kind of spiritual meaning behind it, but you can tell that they get a little bit bored. But how many times are we like children? I mean, sometimes, you know, we can be really naive. We can, you know, try to say, oh, well, you know, even though we were told that the stove was hot, we always put our hand on it. We do things like that, but with the right kind of character, we can go a lot farther than what we could even take ourselves. Because when God's the pilot, we can go through anything and survive and be able to go in such a way that it will influence others. And like I said, how easy is it to just go and say, hey, do you know Jesus? Even if it's the most awkward thing you've ever done, just that one saying alone can make somebody curious. Just that one saying alone can make you save their soul. I mean, in all honesty. And as simple as that is, how hard is it to do sometimes? How hard is it to say, hey, I don't even know you, but hey, you know Jesus? Because he knows you. He wants to be in a relationship with you and wants to help your life be in a lot better shape than what it is. You know? Or even, you know, have you ever thought about being in like a situation? You know, you go to Walmart and you get into the grocery aisle and you see some grapes, you're like, hey, grapes. You know what? You know, some of those can make wine, right? Speaking of wine, did you know Jesus turned water into wine? Did you know that?
Yeah.
So if you like to drink, and you know, it's obviously Jesus was, you know, he had some pretty good wine. I heard it's quite heavenly. So, you know, you could just, any kind of conversation, just whatever, use what they have around them. Because, I mean, anything, just, you know, anything to give insight to Christ. And that's, like I said, for me, that's one of my main things to do is try to show that. If you have means that are extra, then why not share them? Why not give them to somebody? If you have any kind of desires to go and be like Brandon, you know, and completely uproot yourself from America and go to Cambodia or any other place for that matter, and just tell people about, hey, you know, this is Jesus, this is Christ, let me share them with you. If you have any of those kind of desires, then act on them. Because anything that's going to be with God, he's going to take care of you. And he's going to show you in the right direction. Just like, you know, Jaquan. You know, he stuck with us. He could have stopped coming to reach classes. He could have stopped. But where would he be today? And I'd be afraid to answer that question. But luckily, he has character. And you can see that in him. And so I also can appreciate that. So, anyway, if you like to develop some character in your life today, and if you would like to start over and have a fresh start and go and be courageous, then I ask that you come up here while we stand and sing.
I'm pressing on the earth.